I'm Sylvia Burgos Toffness, and this is Deep Roots Radio. Every week, my guests help us connect the dots between what we eat and how it's grown, because every single food dollar we spend either protects or degrades the environment, produces foods with high nutrition or empty calories, and either helps pay a fair wage or keeps farm workers among the working poor. We get to make that choice every time we push a cart through the grocery store, visit the farmer's market, and eat at a restaurant. I hope you enjoy this interview.
In Amory, we happen to have a landmark, a longtime business that we have loved, whether you're a home gardener, a small truck gardener who's doing it commercially, or you're here, as many people are, for the summer to enjoy your cabin by one of our many, many lakes, and you've got landscaping to do. Well, there's a place that you go to for so many of these supplies, and that is Dragonfly Gardens, right outside of Amory, just a hop, skip, and a jump from our studios right here.
Just south,
yeah. And Dragonfly is now under brand new ownership, and we have with us the new owner, but someone who is very, very familiar to this community, Peter Henry. Good morning, Peter. How are you?
Good morning, Sylvia. Thank you for asking me to come in this morning.
You bet. Happy New Year.
Yes, and it is exciting time for sure.
And especially for you, since the ink is just barely dry on the ownership papers for Dragonfly Nursery. Now, I mentioned, Peter, that you've been around this community like forever. So in many public and private, I guess, roles, you've been a resident of Polk County for decades. And your previous life was as a teacher.
Yes, that's correct. Yes, I was a high school teacher in another life in the Twin Cities and very much enjoyed it. And it was a great way to spend my 20s and 30s when I had a lot more energy than I do now, believe it or not.
What did you teach?
Well, I started out at De La Salle High School in Minneapolis, and I was a French and Spanish teacher, of all things, and then moved on to public schools in the Osseo District and taught what I wanted to teach. And the reason I went into teaching, kind of writing and literature. And so I had 10 great years at Park Center High School and greatly enjoyed it. And then I took a sabbatical, a five-year sabbatical, and moved out to my little log cabin on the Apple River and wrote a book called Becoming Mr. Henry. It was about education and the trends toward standardized testing that has only magnified and continued. Probably a good reason to exit teaching for me. And so that was the beginning of being out here and living here on the banks of the Apple River. And I've been here ever since, and I'm greatly enjoying it.
Good. So glad that you're here, because many of us also became familiar with you as a brand new and wonderful, philosophically based business and thought center and education center kind of arose in Amory, which has found its expression so much in the Farm Table Restaurant and the Farm Table Foundation.
Yes, and that has been the principal endeavor that both myself and Carrie Wenger have been occupied with for the last number of years. Farm Table, the restaurant, opened in 2014, and just rehabbing that whole complex that used to be a auto dealership right downtown in Amory has really taken a lot to get off the ground, but I'm feeling really good about it now. It's a wonderful nonprofit that is pointed towards helping people understand the importance of small farms and soil health and local food and healthy food, for that matter. So it's been very gratifying to finally be able to see it kind of take flight and be able to maintain airborne capacity without continually blowing up in the air.
Well, I'll tell you, any small business, any new business, regardless of size, is a much more than 40-hour a week endeavor. I mean, most people who operate their own businesses know that it's 60 to 80 hours a week at least, and that it can go through all kinds of evolutions as you try to figure out, how do I make this work? What's the best expression of what it is that we can do? And the Farm Table Restaurant offers amazingly great food that is, I think, one of the most authentic expressions of farm to table that is anywhere in our region, with a huge percentage of its food having been grown and processed within, I don't know, 50 miles of the restaurant, would you say?
It's the figures I saw from the staff last year was 80% of the food that is used in the restaurant comes from within 50 miles. And yeah, that's an amazing accomplishment all by itself. And to you don't see it when you're sitting in the restaurant, but I mean, we also preserve all summer long, so we're taking the bounty of harvest here in western Wisconsin and pickling and canning and freezing, and boom, it comes back out on the plate at this time of year, so you still have that that local flavor. Even when it's cold and icy outside.
Oh my goodness. And those preserves, the various methods that you use for creating the jams or jellies or pickles of different kinds, they're just delicious. The staff at the Farm Table restaurant are just doing an outstanding job. Very creative and very, very knowledgeable.
Yeah. You know, when you start with a really good ingredient that didn't travel very far to get to your kitchen, the main thing is not to screw it up. And so but absolutely. We have such great food here in the Midwest and in this part of Wisconsin. You might as well take the time to enjoy it.
Right. So this brings us, when it comes to sourcing food, this brings us to, I think, Dragonfly, because many of us put in gardens and try very much to source our food from within, a couple hundred yards of our kitchens. So, all right, so you've been in this area so long, you've been involved in these really foundational efforts. Why Dragonfly Gardens now?
That's a great question that I'm hoping to be able to answer when I get out of bed in the morning this summer. But I knew, and of course, the terrible accident involving the founder of Dragonfly, Rob Bursick, which is coming up on its second anniversary. Mm. So you kind of knew that he was such a font of ideas and work and just a brilliant person who understood plants and grew up in a greenhouse family. Mm. Probably, trudging around in greenhouses as a young boy. So it was in his blood and his bones, and he did so much to get that place off the ground just by brute force of effort. When it became aware that the family was looking to sell and move on because no one in the family really wanted to pick it up, it was Rob's baby. You start thinking, well, of all the other businesses besides Farm Table in this community, Dragonfly is probably the closest to the same mission of healthy plants, healthy soil, healthy food, being outside, working with your hands, small farms, all the things that Farm Table believes in and is engaged in. I was just like, well, Dragonfly is right here. And so I just kept thinking about it and finally made some inquiries. And I'm glad I did, because there was another suitor for the business, and they were quite far along in the process. And so I had to really kind of get all my ducks lined up very quickly here right before Thanksgiving. And thank goodness it all worked out. And here we are in January. And yesterday I was walking around in the greenhouses with some of the staff. And it's like, this is really cool back here. I've never been back here.
You know, yeah, so some people may not be totally familiar with the scope or scale of Dragonfly. So if you were to describe it just physically, the layout, you know, how many acres does it occupy and what kind of buildings and stuff are there? What would a person see even the way of structures?
Yeah, so I mean, it's probably a classic greenhouse in this part of the country in that there's a series of these hoop structures that are aluminum poles, and you cover it with plastic, often two layers of plastic, mm-hmm. and have a intermediate level of air that you pump in between the two layers of plastic. That's kind of an insulator. And then you do your best, starting in late February, to keep those structures warm by blowing hot air in. The sun really starts to become a factor in February, as we all know and love in this part of the world. So hopefully, if it's nice weather, the sun will do a lot of it itself. But so you've got all these structures, these tunnels, and at Dragonfly, I think if I got it right, is about 21 of them.
Wow.
So it's quite a large thing. You've got to run electricity. You've got to run the well piping. You've got to have propane. So it's not a pristine kind of natural site. It is very man-made and has all of these pretty complicated systems that, you know, there's alarms on each tunnel in case the temperature drops below a certain amount. I mean, so these are large structures. I mean, they run upwards of 70, 80 feet long. They can be as much as 20 feet wide. And they're kind of like giant balloons that hold warm air at this time of year.
That's an awfully good description.
Yeah. So it's very fun. I mean, you go in and you start to smell soil, and then you start to smell, of course, we haven't planted anything yet. We don't start until middle to late February. But, you know, it's like spring in there all the time. And so, especially here in early January, it's just such a great thought. The staff is out filling the hanging baskets with the new soil right now. And we have got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hanging baskets that are sitting there with soil in them. And so you start to get excited. It's kind of my version of seed catalogs is to look at all of the things like, what's going to go in that one? What about an herb hanging basket? What about basil? I mean, you know, just thinking about basil right now is really a fun thing. So it's very neat, but it's, like I say, it's a man-made environment, and it's what we have to do to extend the season in this part of the year and get those plants far along so that come May and June, there they are. They're pretty far along in their growth stage. And when customers buy them, of course, and put them in the ground, then they're going to get the bounty of it instead of having to wait and wait and wait.
Right. Okay, so it feels as if this getting into Dragonfly sounds like a real progression, a natural progression for you, Peter Henry. How do you see it melding with your thoughts about local agriculture and native plants and working with both the soil and the climate that we have here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so of course there's garden centers all over western Wisconsin, sometimes just in parking lots at grocery stores. So they're fairly common. One thing about Dragonfly that maybe not a lot of people realize is we have a very extensive native plant perennial catalog, as many as 80, 90 different native species that are perennial. And they are pretty rare things. We grow them from seed. And perennials, of course, are favored in a lot of environments just because you put them in, they lock down the soil, they start to grow, and they can last for a very long time. And because they're native, the interaction with the microbial life underground and the plants and or animals above ground really start to synergize the natural environment in a way that annual plants don't, frankly. Right. So the perennial part of this is probably one I'm most excited about. I think there's tremendous potential to assist with carbon capture, for example, but also pollinator habitat and other habitats that are friendly for our little furry friends who make this such a special place to live in. So that's a big part of the excitement for me, is understanding that. But more broadly, I mean, these tunnels that we heat to extend the season, I mean, if you go to the small organic farms surrounding Amory, you're going to see them all over the place. It's a very common strategy for farmers to extend the season and get their plants out early and then keep them late in the ground. Even something like spinach, if you do it right, in the spring, starting actually mid-February, spinach can pop back to life if it's in the ground. And by the late March, it can be like a crop already ready to eat. So there's a lot of things you can do with these tunnels. And I've got 21 of them sitting out there. Some of them are full of junk, of course. But I mean, if...
Sounds like a playground there.
Yes,
Peter.
It is it's great infrastructure to have in this part of the world, because you never know when you're going to need plants.
Right.
One of the things that has been gaining traction over the last several years has been lakeshore frontage and the move to protect the water by not mowing all the way down to the edge of the lake, but planting native plants there. Is that something? There's a lot of lakes around here. Is that something Dragonfly's involved in? Or?
Oh, very much. I mean, Rob and Cheryl, the two original founders of Dragonfly, I mean, Cheryl Clemens is still a very well-known lakes consultant around how to construct buffer zones. I know Rob would freely volunteer a lot of his time to do plantings in these kind of retention pond scenarios that are you'll often see next to large parking lots or in a new road. We finally realized that having the rain sail off of a hot pavement into our water systems can raise a lot of havoc and create a lot of problems for us. And so, yes, plants are the solution, and by doing it intelligently with buffer strips and other plantings, you can do a heck of a lot to clean the water before it hits our lakes and our streams. So absolutely, and we sell a tremendous amount of our native perennials to contractors and campuses and governmental agencies who are doing exactly that, using the perennials to help them make sure that their water resources stay clean.
You know, that brings up another thought too, and that has to do with a topic that we've talked about here on Deep Roots Radio, which is the notion of permaculture. And permaculture is when you plant something that you don't that you expect to come back every year. And you plant different types of plant varieties so that they grow up in a good kind of little ecosystem, in a good relationship with one another. And sometimes those permaculture stands are planted in relationship also to the contour of the land, where water is, and what kind of animals you may have. Now, when you talk about perennials, Peter, are you also talking about a variety of types of plants? So is it grasses as well as shrubs? What's incorporated in that notion of perennial?
Yeah, absolutely. Grasses, people in this part of the world would recognize pastures as a perennial system, although pastures occasionally need renovation, of course, depending on what's happened to them. But yeah, things like sedges and a variety of different flowers, and they can grow together with each other. In permaculture context, they call that a guild.
Okay.
Or a plant community that they synergize each other, sometimes underground, sometimes through their growth habits being synergistic with each other. Plants have an amazing variety of growth habits and types and conditions that they favor. So the creativity and the ability of a good designer to understand what's under the soil, where we are in the environment, how close we are to this community or that community of plants, all of that is partly scientific, it's partly creativity, it's partly intuitive, but it has tremendous potential to enrich the environment. We talked about the cleaning of water. It can also stimulate soil health. It provides food, of course, for us and for animals, including ones that we very much like to keep around because they are delicious. So plants are just, they kind of, and of course they provide oxygen for us through the way they respire and photosynthesize. So, I mean, holy cow, as you start to look around your environment and tune in on the reality of the plants, it's amazing. And some grow in water and some want it dry. And I mean, you just go on and on and on. So it's a wonderful world. It's something that I'm new to in some ways, to try to think about the awesomeness of it and know those Latin names and what types of habitat and how much sun and how much moisture. I mean, they all have their little things, and you kind of have to get good at remembering those. And I'm one of those persons who, like, the first time I see a flower in the spring, I'm like, I know that flower. It's there every year. Now, what is its name?
Well, Peter Henry, I think one of the things that people will be reassured by is that you've got a lot of good staff with a lot of this knowledge.
Oh, my God.
That can help us all kind of figure this out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that's been the most amazing thing since Rob passed away is, of course, we were all very concerned that the business might need to close, having lost its founder and its architect. You know, people, I'm out there and people show up and it's like they know what to do. It's like, huh, they show up, they know what to do, and there they go, and they love that job, and it's a good vibe. Like I say, being back there and your fingernails are dirty and you're growing living things and you get to see this progression of life from a seed all the way up into a plant and now a customer happily choosing it and putting it out in their yard. So it's a wonderful process, and I think people, you know, I know we need jobs for money and to support our families and stuff, but there's sometimes where you just do something because it's got so much connection for you to the land or to the life that you love or to kids or whatever it is. And I get that sense that there's a lot of people who say, I'll be here no matter what. You know, it's like, I love doing this work. And so the staff out there is outstanding. And always in a small business context, you always think of your people, because that's what you have in a small business, is you have your people. And Rob did a great job of bringing people in and grooming them and letting them know how to do things. And they've kept it, and there they are. So they're not going anywhere.
Yeah, like we said earlier in the show, Dragonfly Gardens is very conveniently located just south of the city streets of Amory. And certainly it's one of those driveways where my car just starts likes to just turn in by itself. It's like, did I really intend to come here? Oh, yeah, I obviously need something. And in addition to the perennials, of course, and to the native plants, you have the annuals that all of us just love to get a season started, getting things in pots and on along driveways. windowsill kind of pots and things of that nature. And you have a lot of full scale of supplies there too.
Yeah. And I mean, we will be looking at ways that we can continue to add things that people need for gardening and what level of services we might be providing. So this is my year to learn and observe and ask questions. And I plan to take advantage of that. But I mean, I think over time we will definitely continue to round off what we have to offer. I like the tagline, helping you grow. And so I think that would be the mission of Dragonfly, is to help people grow as individuals, but also in their connection to this place that we have here that is so wonderful and so many people treasure. And plants are one of the principal ways that we can do that, and are just a great expression. So, yeah, I mean, I'm hoping we can have a little more public engagement out there, classes, little pop-up workshops on this and that topic that people are interested in, and maybe even use the adjacent 5 acres out there to put in some demonstration sites of, here's a pollinator garden, here's a carbon-friendly yard that doesn't need mowing. Here's what a perennial guild looks like on the edge of a woodland. Those types of things, so people can actually see it and learn about it, and that makes it that much more enticing, I think, for them to want to get involved with plants.
Wow, that's really exciting. For me, when you say that, my eyes are just like, oh my gosh, when are those classes going to start? What kind of class can I take? Because as much as I love plants, and you know, Peter Henry, like you, I farm, and we're surrounded by green and by plants and by herbs. There's so much to learn about how to do this.
Yeah, it is infinite, and it's intimidating. Actually, you almost want a PhD person to be right there with you as you walk through those tunnels. But yeah, it's exciting and it's fun though. And you can take it at the level that you're at. That's the fun thing. Like, yeah, I just like the pretty colors. That's fine. Or good. I just want a tomato on my patio in a big bowl.
Good. So you don't have to think about having to farm or having a huge garden. You start from where you are and make it as big as you want, I guess, a little bit at a time. So Peter, can people find out more or connect with Dragonfly Gardens on the internet any place, or what's the deal?
We do have a website, dragonflygardens.com, I think it is, but just Google Dragonfly Amory, Wisconsin, and up it comes. And we also have a Facebook page where we announce sales and things that are going on more immediately. I hope on our website, the catalog is listed of all the native perennials that we have.
Oh, yes. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yep, it's there so you can see what we grow. But I do hope to start a blog on the website and just engage around some of these challenging issues and depth of knowledge that is so intimidating, but to try to start out by doing, you know, reflecting on what we do have there at Dragonfly.
All right. Well, thank you.
Visit my website, bronxtobarn.com, to download this and past interviews, to learn about my farm, and to reserve 100% grass-fed beef. We deliver to Minneapolis and St. Paul, Minnesota. Thanks.